I brought you here tonight to learn something extraordinarily important. But I'm going to share with you something just as important, but different first. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you, Artem. That was great. That was wonderful. I can remember many, many years ago, the Lord giving me a vision. A young boy, about 12 years of age, came up to the platform and put on the platform a huge bouquet of yellow roses. Then he sat down right in front of the roses and he began to cry. And I watched this phenomena as it escalated. As he wept, the roses began to droop, even though they had water. And I watched this for a little while until the roses were pretty droopy, and he continued to cry. And finally, I said, Lord, what is happening here? Why are these roses drooping, and why is this lad weeping? And he said to me, the church in America has lots of the word. And it is, my word resounds across the land. But the roses are drooping and the child is weeping because America, the American church, has little faith. So because of the littleness of our faith, God has not been able to do great things. If our faith were somehow increased, then he would be doing visibly profound things through many. Amen. So tonight, or this afternoon actually, as I was in prayer for you, I was asking the Lord, what can I share? What will he give us to help our faith? To help increase our faith so that he can, because you know, when it comes to the things that he says to us, when it comes to the promises that he wants to give us in America, faith is imperative. We must hold on to the promises with faith. Without our faith, apparently, the particular promises that are so important to us right now cannot come to fruition. And so I'm asking him what he would be willing to give us tonight. He says, the church is asleep. The church is asleep. Although there is much information as to the criticalness of the hour, the church is in a state of slumber. And he is going to send an awakening.
Amen.
To help you come out of the slumber and into reality. As we sleep away, reality continues in its cycle. And we're going to be bumping our shins on some things here pretty quick. And it's going to hurt. Because we did not prepare our hearts in humility. So Tonight I'm going to talk to you about him. Then I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. I love to talk about Jesus. When I talk about Jesus, I love to talk about the way he really is, especially to his church. Because most Christians are so asleep that they have not learned Jesus. They're taught about him in the meeting place. They see some of his works in the marketplace. But few know him and the way he really is. Few know his compassion, and few know his severity. Those are opposite poles, seemingly, but even in his severity, there is always mercy. I had an experience, before I go to the scripture, I had been in Israel for, 2 or 3 weeks. Usually when I went to Israel, I would stay 2 or 3 weeks. And Jesus would visit me every day and help me know how to pray for Israel. Sometimes he'd visit me 2 or 3 times a day to instruct me in my prayers. So I had been there, and he had talked to me again about Israel every day that I was there. When I came home, let me tell you what had happened on this particular trip. My heart was broken because President Bush had flown to Israel to talk to the Prime Minister about dividing the land. And I thought, you know, of all the people in the world, why does it have to be a Christian president in America that is pushing this thing forward? When I landed in the airport in Israel, you could feel the grieving of the people over this coming talk. I flew from Tel Aviv later down to Eilat. You're right. And I had flown down to Eilat. As I landed in Eilat, for whatever reason, the grieving seemed even more real, deeper. And I found out, I don't remember how, that President Bush, Netanyahu, and whoever was the Prime Minister of Palestine at that time, were walking across the border together. Do you remember this at all? I don't know how many years ago it was. And the purpose of walking across the border was somehow to make a mutual promise of sustained peace in dividing the land. So I am devastated. I mean, you know, I'm not devastated as a Christian, I'm devastated as a Jewish person, because that's who we are. We're Jewish as a family. I'm devastated, and I'm devastated because my people are devastated. They're hurting. And so the whole time that I was in Israel at that time, my prayers were very, very intense. That God would send his grace upon the people to help them with what was going on. Are you with me? If you can remember, you know, the Lord, I mean, if you can remember, yeah, I wish the Lord would have been there. If you could remember the time that President Bush Jr. made this visit for this express purpose, then you'll have the time that this happened to me. So, as always, he came several times a day and would talk to me, take me different places on the land. And this particular time, he even took me to hell. Now, isn't that exciting? When he asked me to come with him, took me by the hand, I didn't know that's where we were headed. But he was taking me down through the earth to hell to show me the Jewish quarters. Again, not exciting. He stood there, talked to me in front of cages upon cages upon cages of Jewish people who had died and gone to hell. When he talked to me about his feelings, he wept. He was troubled over the fact that that America and the American church, mostly the American church, was so distressed over the fact that God was dividing the land. Did you hear what I said? Not man, but God. God was dividing the land. And as I'm standing down there in the Jewish quarters of hell, there really is a place called the Jewish quarters of hell. As I'm standing down there with him, and I'm seeing all of the agonizing suffering before me, he says to me, he quotes a scripture out of Isaiah and says to me that hell was not made for his people. You all know that, right? It was made for demons. But he said to me that hell was enlarging its mouth daily to absorb the new influx of Jewish souls. And even as he talked to me, I saw this occurrence. Hell breathes. Did you know that? It breathes. It breathes like we breathe. And so you can see the walls of hell expand, and you can see them shrink as though they inhale. And that's how it sounds too, incidentally. As they inhale, as the walls of hell inhales, you can hear it inhale. And the walls expand. Right after the walls expand, new cages are made. They just appear out of nowhere. They go as high as the eye can see. And left, right, and behind, as far as the eye can see. Then it exhales. Once again, it inhales. More cages are formed. More Jewish souls come into the Jewish quarters of hell. The Lord is weeping. He is weeping that the church has its mind on the land more than on their souls. And that's what he said to me. The church prays and is very diligent in praying about the land. But who's praying for their souls? They can live without the land. They cannot live without their souls. This is their destiny. If I let them keep the land, they will never look for me. They will never embrace me. They have to have the land ripped from their hands before they will start crying for their Messiah. So the Father is going to allow that to happen. I get home after that particular visit. Many visits I had from him talking to me about this issue, saying the same thing in many different ways. I get home. He wakes me out of a sound sleep. And now he's going to talk to me about the goodness of God. So I hear him speaking to me as the voice of the sounds of many waters. And he says to me something to the effect that the division of the land of Israel, and he's very deliberate in his words, the division of the land of Israel is from the goodness of God. It is my goodness that divides the land of Israel. Every time he says the word goodness, that word like is flung through his spirit, flung through the air, the atmosphere. I don't really know what it was flung through. All I know is it left him and it came deep into me, filling every part of me, filling every cell in my body, until every cell expanded so greatly, I really thought I was going to explode. I thought every cell would explode. I was so immersed in him, I couldn't take anymore. Once it settled down, he would say it again. It is my goodness, and he would always emphasize the word goodness. It is my goodness that divides the land of Israel. Can you believe that? You go to Israel, and one of the things that you see, at least in the Infatara, I would go there 4 times a year during that period of time, is, you know, people blowing themselves up for the purpose of blowing Israel up. And I can remember one time someone had blown themselves up to blow up a school bus full of kids. That was devastating. Even that was God's goodness. That's hard to hear, isn't it? But we don't know him. We don't understand him. We don't know his ways. If God shields Israel so that they are never put through the press, they will never come to their Messiah. And they will end up in the place I saw in hell. So God's goodness allows difficult things because he has a higher purpose. Not only for Israel, but for us. Not only for Israel, but for America. No matter what you see around the world, the one thing you have to come back to, and you have to come back to it every day, is that God is holy. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his skirts of his train filled the most holy part of the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings. With 2, each covered his own face. With 2, each covered his feet. With 2, each flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory." It's hard to be in Israel seeing children's buses blown up and say to yourself, this is a holy God. He's speaking to a people he calls holy. You might say, well, Israel is anything but holy, and believe me, that's true. They're anything but holy. Very few attend synagogue. They live a very secular life there. And if you're in some place like Tel Aviv, the nightlife is incredible. Tel Aviv, the city of Tel Aviv, is one of the greatest gay communities in the world. So it's hard to see Israel as being holiness unto the Lord when they're living in such an exaggerated love for the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yet, God is holy, and his dealings with Israel is holy. And out of that holiness flows his goodness in his dealings with Israel, in his dealings with the Jewish people. Because he has determined that my people are going to belong to him before it's over. When you've been 2,000 years in slumber, how do you awaken a people like that? Now, do you know where I'm going next? You guys are very adept, you know. If Israel has been in slumber all these years and going evermore into the depths of slumber, to the point that God is now taking extreme measures to try to awaken them, to try to shake them awake, that must be one of the ways God works. Isn't that amazing? That must be one of the ways God works, and in fact it is. So if he will do that for Israel, he is also going to do it for us. But it's out of his goodness. The Lord, you know, the Bible says that the God of Israel neither sleeps nor does he slumber. And I am so glad that while we're sleeping and slumbering, he's wide awake. And he knows everything, and he sees everything. He knows the nature and the character of the people in the nation. He knows what it's going to take to do the goodness, say goodness, that he wants to do that will make our hearts glad. Now, while we're in the shaking process, that too is his goodness, as I'm trying to say, but that's not so exciting, is it? In fact, we would, you know, get up and pray three times a day and night, praying that he would get to the goodness. But here we all are, and we're believing God. His hand, his everlasting arms are under us. That's not going to change. Because he is a God who is good. Say that, please. He's good if he's disciplining, and he's good if he is blessing us with gifts. He is good. As he disciplines and as he trains us, it doesn't mean he loves us less. When he is touching on those little foxes that we haven't known how to get rid of, it's going to hurt. Foxes bite. But it is in his goodness that he teaches us that our ways are not workable and that he wants us to walk closer to him. When you look at a person who has a seeing eye dog, isn't it remarkable how that dog will walk with that person, never missing a step? In the area that I grew up in Michigan, the city that was, we lived kind of in a township between two cities, and the city Rochester, which was one of those cities, trained, they were like the original, as far as I understand, trainers of the CNI dogs. And so you'd see them around a lot as they were being trained. And I marveled at how sensitive that dog was to its owner's needs. But you have to come to a place of being diligently trained to be that sensitive to an owner that you do not yet know, so that you can be the eyes of that owner and not be harmed when you're out in the city. The sensitiveness is what I'm going after. God is calling you to his side. Now, we love Jesus. We love him very much. But our flesh, our soulish nature, our flesh loves freedom. So while we love Jesus and we want him to be right there, we are running around in several different directions at once. We're not close to the Lord. He's around. We're around him somewhere. But we don't walk step by step with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't walk step by step with him. We don't even know his nature when he begins to whisper it into our ears. We don't recognize it from our own nature. Though we are trying to learn his ways, we do not know them, I promise you. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I realized how little I knew 2 years ago about the way he is. So if we're going into a difficult time, where do you want to be? Out in the playground, playing with your faith, or in the Holy of Holies, worshiping him and drawing from his purity and his holiness by your faith? Where do you want to be? To walk close to the Lord means lots of no's. It means, you know, if he says yes, you have to do it. You don't have to do it, but you're not going to walk close to the Lord if you don't. Where am I going with all this? God is holy. Because he is holy, he cannot lie. He cannot tell an untruth. He can't even tell a little white lie. He cannot give you any kind of lying or deception. It's not that he won't. He can't. He is holy. And because he's holy, everything he says is truth, including such things as, I am faithful, merciful, compassionate. I am the sovereign ruler. I am from age to age. We can't see those things, can we? I can remember one time the Lord, I had wanted to see his transcendence. I wanted to see what it looked like. I wanted to feel it. I wanted so badly to do this. So one time in my prayer life, he decided he was going to answer my prayer and let me be taken into his transcendence, meaning he's everywhere all at once. Transcendence from the beginning of the ages to the end of the ages. He is the same. He transcends every age. So he decided he was going to answer my prayer. He picked me up, and I began to fall into a sort of vacuum that was taking me so fast through the ages. I screamed for him to let go of me, because it was too much to take in my mortal body. To experience his transcendence was too much for my mortal body to handle. And the minute I screamed for him to stop, he stopped and put me back in my room. He's transcendent. There is no beginning or end in God. Now, we don't sit around and try to fathom that with our minds, but because we don't meditate on things like that about him, when it comes to looking at what God says he will do, good, bad, or indifferent, it's hard for us to feel safe. Do you understand what I'm saying? And because it's hard for us to feel safe, trust is broken. Not because he's not worthy, but because of the smallness of our knowledge of him. If he says he will do it, he will do it. Why? Why? Because he's holy. Because he's holy. I can remember one of the times that he appeared to me in his holiness to let me know that failing his word is unthinkable to God. He doesn't even think about it. Every word that God says, unless it comes with a prerequisite, something you have to do for that to happen, every word that God says, he will do. Because he is holy, he has to do it. He holds the world, the stars, the planet, the moon, the sun. He holds all of creation in the palm of his hand. Can you imagine a being that great? Nothing is out of kilter. Nothing is out of sync. Even if man really, really gets involved and does things like down in Myanmar, God's still in control. And he will bring good out of the evil for the people, because he's God and he's holy. His goodness rests in his holiness. So if you're not one that wants to be around the holiness of God, you might miss out on some of the goodness treats. He says, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to share that with you in a minute. The last time we were together, what did I tell you? Well, he's truth, and what did he do? As truth, what did he do? You forgot already. Oh, my goodness. Let me overreact. He has stopped the New World Order. Oh, yeah. So you guys are really, really holding that one up in faith, aren't you? He stopped the New World Order from being able to take over America. That is phenomenal. That is awesome. That is... Someone's got to have a better word than me. It is stupendous. Unprecedented. I'm sure there are lots of words up there. It is amazing because the New World Order is so... I mean, the networking of the New World Order is so intricate and it spans the globe. How does he stop something that big? You know, and it's many layers thick. How does he stop something that is that big? Man certainly can't do it. If he said to me, Nita, I want you to go and push the button that is going to stop the New World Order, I'd spend the rest of my life looking for the button, right? Or you would, right? No one person can put a stop to the New World Order. But he's not finite like we are. He's infinite. Infinite in his wisdom, infinite in his knowledge, infinite in his capacity. So when he said, I will not let the New World Order own America, overtake America, he was not speaking lightly. That's something you can get up every morning and your first words can be to the Lord, thank you for stopping the New World Order. He deserves 1,000 trillion thank yous a day. Because that massive organization was the beast of beasts about to ready to be released. Think of what it's going to be like for your kids if God could fail. You'd never know when they went to school if they were going to come home from school. Their little eyes, ears, and mouths would be your worst enemy because they would be children of the state and trained in betrayal. And we could go on and on. They're being trained in the schools. They're being trained in scientific communities. I have seen visions and been taken places in the spirit to be shown what they're doing that would... It would cause your mind to stagger if I were to tell it all. I've never told anyone everything I've seen because it's too frightening. These people are so evil. They're like the embodiment of Satan. They're so evil. They don't even consider whether or not the acts that they do are evil. They look to the depths for something more evil than they've already done. I'm telling you the truth. So this is a major thing that God has done. He has stopped the New World Order from being able to take over America. God did what man cannot do, and he did it because of all of our repentance. All of our intercession for 15 years. Now, I'm not saying that to be boastful. Please, believe me. With what you go through to carry that kind of calling, there's not a whole lot left to be prideful about. Only thankful. Thankful that he's a God who answers prayer. So what could top that? I shouldn't tell you. I should just make you come back in January. I should just make you come back in January, and then I would ask you, now what was the last great thing I told you? And if you got it right, then I would tell you. Oh, you're funny. Emotional bribing. You're going to love this, I hope. He is going to bring Illuminati down.
Amen.
Yay.
It is no longer if. It's been if for 15 years. It's no longer if. He is bringing it down.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I don't just think he's going to bring it down in America. Currently, there are 188 nations that have aligned themselves to break the back of the Illuminati. The greatest stronghold in America of the Illuminati is the Federal Reserve. You all know about that, right? Is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has been purchased. They've sold it. That is their tower. That is their stronghold in America. But they sold it. And if what I've been told is correct, they sold it to China. Now, before you get scared, there is a part of China royalty that has a heart for the nations. They've been given unbelievable amounts of gold handed down from generation to generation to be opened at this very season to help the nations. They are determined to bring the Illuminati down.
Amen.
188 nations have come together now, and their main focus is to get out from under the Illuminati and bring it down. Now, when the Lord told me that he was definitely going to bring the Illuminati down, he's not going to let it survive. We have done enough warfare that if we will continue to hold our prayers and our faith, our intercessions over this issue, he will bring it down.
Amen.
If we give up our faith, walk away from it, then I don't know what will happen. I just know he needs our faith to hold things intact. He has never told me in 15 years that he is going to bring the Illuminati down. He has told me that is his will, but we had a lot of work to do to bring forth his will in the earth. And believe me, the price we paid has been more than anything you can possibly imagine. But when he said that we could bring it down, I know that he's not a man that he can lie. If he is telling me he will bring it down, if we're faithful, he'll bring it down. The rest is simply understood. We just do our part and he will do his. I don't fear that. I don't fear that he will not be faithful to his word. In 15 years, he has not told me that he's going to bring it down because it required intercession. We had to fill the cup, you might say. Now we have done it. That doesn't mean you can quit praying. You can't quit praying. But every day we go to prayer over this issue, they are getting weaker and weaker.
Amen.
And weaker.
Amen.
He is bringing the Illuminati down.
Yes.
So you know, if he's going to keep the New World Order out of America, that says one thing to us. That's plenty of reason to rejoice, right? Amen. But as long as the Illuminati is alive and doing their nasty business in America, it's still only part of what needs to be done. How many of you think that that feels too big? That he could and would bring the Illuminati down through the prayers of so few? Just be honest. How many of you feel like that's a little big? A few. And that's fine. It doesn't offend me. It is a huge order for God to say to someone, I need you to walk with me in this because I want to disrupt the plans of your enemy. How many of you remember someone else he did that to? How about Moses? Moses delivered a whole nation single-handedly. That feels impossible, doesn't it? I mean, as a Christian, we read it in the Old Covenant, so we say to ourselves, well, it had to happen. It's like reading a history book. It had to have happened. But we don't stop to think of what it would be like for the Lord to put the rod in your hand today and say, do likewise. How many people in the days of Egypt really believed that God could send a deliverer? And it be only one person. They were so filled with unbelief that when he came to them, they told him to get out of their face. Well, basically. So they didn't even recognize him when he came. Yet he was sent to bring the monarchy of Egypt down and to liberate millions of people. One man. Do you think he could do it again? What about David? Israel was embanked all around by the Philistines. Israel, although God was trying to raise up that fledgling nation, Israel was not strong. It was broken. It was fractured. Israel was kind of a nation in the making. But God gave them a David to put Israel on the map, bringing down their enemies. Think about all the warfare that Israel went into, just with a few hundred men, and he always won. Because it's not it's not so much about people as it is about God. We have to be there. We have to be part of the instrumentality. But the deciding factor of who's going to win is the Lord. He has a plan and a purpose for America. What is life going to be like in this nation without the Illuminati? Things are getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, you go on the internet, you almost have to go on the internet like this with blinders on until you can get through to your emails because it is just everywhere. I wrote them a note one time, my server. I wrote them a note and told them that I didn't like all the soft porn that they're putting on AOL. I'm sure they read that letter. And tossed it. It was meaningless to them. Because why? Because the Illuminati is the power in America. If you want a Christian nation, you not only have to send revival, reformation, reclamation, a revolution, but you have to break down the stronghold of the Illuminati in this nation. Now that seems incomprehensible unless you've got great faith. You can't do it on the smallness of faith. You have to have a faith that is tough. Tough enough to burrow through mountains. We have to have faith that can burrow through mountains. And God will give it to us if we will choose to believe. So, he's going to get rid of the New World Order, and he's going to get rid of the Illuminati. I mean, that is enough to cause you to stand up and start dancing. I can't imagine life without Illuminati, because they are everywhere, in everything. We don't even know how many churches are in America who are being pastored by Illuminati pastors. There isn't any place that they're not. But God is going to bring the whole thing down.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want to give you a date. I know what I feel like he's told me, but I'm not going to give you a date yet. But you must pray diligently that the Illuminati will come down, that God's will be fulfilled in America. Some people look at the whole thing and they think, just let them come. Just, you know, let the New World Order happen so that we can get out of here. But what if it's not God's time? What if he doesn't want us to get out of here? What if he wants to bring a crescendo of the kingdom to the earth, the likes of which is going to greatly glorify his Son, releasing the sons of God, releasing Melchizedek, releasing the prophetic ministries, the apostolic ministries into kingdom life to help take the body into kingdom life? What if he wants to do something greater than you ever thought possible? Something more than you can conceive with your mind. What if he doesn't want to take us out of here as a frustrated church? What if what he wants to do is going to take time? And so he wants to push the enemy's agenda back so that he can use the time to bring forth the glories of the kingdom.
Amen.
We've never seen anything like it, you know. We can look at the story of Moses in Israel, and we have an idea of some of the things that will transpire. We can look at Pentecost. The miracles of Jesus have more ideas of what God wills to transpire. But there has yet to be a book written that really describes how great it's going to be, how much it's going to be. We don't know. Our mind cannot conceive what he is about ready to release. When I was told that, the angel was standing right in front of my face. And he kept saying it over and over again, like, expand your understanding, Nita. Expand your mind. Open your faith to more and greater than you have perceived in the past. It was very important to him that I understand my faith was way too small for what was about to come. And now I'm saying it to you. There are angels of the Lord in here tonight. I've seen two so far. And I believe that they're here to help your faith. I don't think it's because they like to hear me teach. They're here to help your faith. They want to build up your faith so that you will get more focused. They want to build up your faith so that you will pray more diligently, that you will see more largely, that your faith will be a powerhouse, a power force for Christ and the things that he wants to bring forth in the world. The Illuminati and the New World Order were trying to push too fast, too hard, and get their agenda before God brings forth his agenda. But my dear brothers and sisters, too bad. America's still going to go through the discipline. I've never said anything different. But it's a discipline unto greatness. It is not a discipline of anger. God is not, you know, wanting to rip up everything that he's built. But, you know, like in Egypt, it took some strong moves to break the yoke of Egypt over the people of God. And I can tell you right now that the Illuminati has a yoke on your shoulders that is much greater than you know. But he's going to break it. I'm just so excited about this. Melchizedek is going to arise, and when the prophets arise in kingdom authority, when the apostles arise in kingdom authority, when the mighty men of valor, I can remember one time an angel came and talked to me about the mighty men of valor. When the mighty men of valor come, it is going to be extraordinary. The whole world is going to know they're here and that they've been empowered. When Melchizedek arrives, the whole world is going to know they're here and that they've been empowered. And what is going to come with them is for the church is going to put us into a place of grandeur. The anointing that is going to be released will heal you of wounds. It will heal you of sins. It will heal your soul so that God can fill your soul with his glory and raise you into a kingdom son. Which means you're going to be walking in a lot more power and authority than you have ever seen in your life. All of this has had to be birthed through prayer. And we're going to do that in part tonight. We're going to pray over those things. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Artem? I want to thank you for coming, and I want you to know that in January, because that will be the next time we're together, we're going to make a way that I can start teaching you. I'd like to do one night, probably Thursday night, where I can just do nothing but teaching and teach you how to walk with God. And then on Friday night, it will be more like this, releasing prophetic information and then praying. So between now and then, pray and fast that God will bring this forth. the more you learn under the right anointing, the more work God is able to do in your soul to prepare you for the greatness of the hour. So I want to do that, and I want to do that starting January. We can't do it before then. I'm sorry. But between now and then, please be in prayer for our country, for our nation, for the church, for the coming of the kingdom of God in its magnificent display of God's greatness. Amen? Will you do that for us? Okay. Why don't you stand? Oh Lord, come in your holiness. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh Lord, come in your power. Oh Lord, come in your glory. Oh Lord, come in your strength. Let the fire come. Let it come. Let it come. Let the fire come, Lord. Let it come. Let the rain come. Let it come. Let it come, Lord. Let the rain come. Let the wind blow. Let it blow. Let it blow, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let your kingdom come. Let it come. Let it come, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Aveshin kremaso elemastin. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Bring forth the Davids. Bring forth the Elijahs. Bring forth those flowing under the mantle of Moses. Let the kings of the earth arise. We call forth the apostles. We call forth the prophets. We call forth the bride of Christ. We call forth the virgins. Come, come forth. Come forth. Let the government of God come upon the earth. We call forth the intercessors, Lord. The warriors, we call you to arise. 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 press in. Let the Lord overtake you with travail. Church triumphant, come forth. Awaken, 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 awaken. Awaken and be endowed. We push back the gates of hell. And we say to you, you will not triumph over the church. The triumphant church is coming forth. Church, open your eyes. See and believe. We call forth the Spirit inside of you, and we tell you to arise and believe. The kingdom of God is taken by the violent, and the violent take it by force. Arise! Arise and fight the forces of hell. Shaman kreban saferet raplonosia. Kresima kafesona manastat. Lord, you are gracious. You are wonderful. You are good. You are kind. You're so powerful, Lord. There is nothing that you have determined that will not come to pass. And we thank you for bringing forth your will in America. The Illuminati is over. It's over. It's over. We want you out of our nation. God has given America to the church. We want you out of our nation. America will be a nation of righteousness. You guys keep praying. We call forth the intercessors. Arise. Arise. We call you forth from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Arise. 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 And stand in the gap. Lord, you are holy. You are good. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your goodness. Bring forth your holy will in your church and in this nation.
Amen. 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 Thank you for coming and joining with us tonight. Thank you. Thank you. We just want to remind you, Nina was asking us to pray, to keep in prayer. We have prayer calls during the week, Wednesday at 10:20, Thursday and Friday night next week, at 5:50 Pacific time. And we would love to have you join with us on those. And we have a prayer call on Sunday at 5:50 Pacific and 5:50 Eastern both. We're going to take up an offering here in a few minutes. But we need to keep praying. We need to keep before the Lord. He has given us. We can just show him our thankfulness by continuing to pray as he's asked us to pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everybody online, for joining with us tonight. And if you would like to give to the ministry, there's no better place to invest. You can do that right online on the website through PayPal. And that will take care of it. It'll go directly to the ministry office. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your intercession. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many are excited about the fact that the Illuminati is being brought down? Amen. 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 That means new life. That means a different United States. We need to ask the Lord to really give us a concept to be able to grasp what that means. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen. Let's go ahead and take the offering. Thank you for giving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody that would rather be someplace else tonight? Oh. You know, you're going to look back years down the road. You're going to look back on this night sitting in Bethel Chapel. You're going to look back on this night and you're going to say, boy, am I glad I was there. Boy, am I glad I was there. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this offering tonight. Lord, we thank you for the gift. Lord, we thank you for the giver. Lord, we pray your blessing over each one that has come tonight. Lord, and has given of their time, has given of their resources. Lord, bless everyone online listening to the stream, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this technology that we can send this all over the United States, Lord, and different parts of the world, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that people can join in and pray and seek your face. Oh, Lord, we recognize that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and you are coming. In Jesus' name, you are coming to set up your kingdom in the earth, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Bless you all. Thank you.